What we're going to do is spend the next half hour or 2 hours going through church planting and updating you on some of the work that we have been doing. Sean is going to be sharing, Bishop Ron is going to be sharing, and I wanted to start us off this afternoon with a five-minute exegesis of Matthew 16. You guys have faith? 5 minutes. All right, Matthew 16. You guys know the immediate context. Jesus says these words, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus says, "I will build my church." We're going to look at these five words and just touch on them briefly. But before we do, the immediate context here is, of course, Peter's proclamation, his clear statement that Jesus is the Christ. Every time that a new church is formed, every time that a new congregation begins, it always happens in this same context. When people declare the lordship of Jesus, that's how churches are formed. And it's the Jesus who is not of our making, but it's the Jesus who reveals himself. Now, this is the first point. He says, "I will build my church." I. Jesus is the one who reveals himself in creation. He reveals himself by inserting himself in the history of his people, Israel. And he ultimately reveals himself in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And we see that through his living, dynamic presence. The Holy Spirit reveals him to us. And the Holy Spirit illumines Jesus in the apostolic witness to him in the scriptures. That's the Jesus who says, I will build my church. It's the same Jesus that we see in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, St. John sets the heavenly scene. You guys know this picture. If you don't, I'll read it to you. Do you know it? Revelation 5, the whole heavenly host is gathered around, and they pull out the scrolls of all of time, and they begin to weep, because there is no one found worthy to open the scrolls. And then Jesus appears as a lamb slain. And the entire heavenly host, all of the chorus breaks out in spontaneous song, in praise, saying, "Worthy is the lamb who was slain." Every squirrel, every creature, every sperm whale, everything declares the unique worthiness of Jesus. He is the only one who's worthy to open the scrolls of time. That's the same Jesus who says, "I will build my church." Philippians chapter 2, the Christ hymn, tells us another story about Jesus. It tells us that there is coming a day when every volitional creature will gain cosmic clarity, when every volitional creature will bow its knee and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the Jesus who says, "I will build my church." Will build. Jesus says, "I will build." And I hope that you hear that as a source of encouragement this afternoon. In that passage, you hear Jesus saying that he personally cares more about your congregations than even you do. He is the one who builds the church. We are invited to work at his behest. Not to work for him, but to work at his behest. There's a difference between those two. If we are working for Jesus, then we tend to launch out and do our own things and then retrospectively ask him to bless them. Right? We are working for Jesus. If we work at his behest, we recognize that it is he who builds the church and we work at his sovereign direction. Jesus builds his church around the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is preached, Jesus people hear his voice, Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice," they respond to the gospel, and the church is formed. Jesus said, "I will build." We see this example with Paul also, who says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but," what did he say? "God gave the increase." God gave the increase. Jesus says, "I will build." And then he says, "My church." Instead of going through a biblical ecclesiology, I thought I would just touch on Articles 19 and 20 in the back of your prayer book. A church is described in our Anglican tradition as a collection of godly people under the preaching of the pure word of God and a place where the sacraments are duly and rightly administered. Sean has pointed out to our church plant working group a few times that every single church that exists today was at one point a church plant. I'm the rector of two churches. One of them is 160 years old, but it was a church plant at one point. The other one is Christ the King in Toronto, which is brand new. But someday, should the Lord tarry, there will be a time when people forget that it was ever a church plant. So every church that exists today was at one point a church plant, and every church plant where there is the preaching of the pure word of God and the sacraments are rightly administered is already a church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." The church is the group of people that belong to Jesus, purchased by his blood, redeemed and rescued from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into his kingdom. We belong to him. It's his church, not ours. And he's glorified when redeemed sinners respond to the grace that has been poured out on them by proclaiming the same gospel, admiring Jesus, and bringing glory to God. Jesus says, "I will build my church."
I remember the bishop that ordained me, and he said to me, "Ron, the good shepherd not only knows the sheep, the good shepherd counts them." And so I've always taken that to heart, that counting the sheep is just as important as knowing them, and that numbers do matter, and that as we've heard from the Great Commission of our Lord and the teachings of Jesus, every last heart matters to him, and he loves and yearns for every heart. And so volume matters and numbers matter. I've spent many years looking after a little church in tiny villages and tiny communities, but I still feel that numbers matter, whether you're in a village or whether you're in a great city. And so I have some good numbers to tell you about today and to share with you. Some of you may have felt that when you sort of launched into the Anglican Network in Canada, you were launching into a pretty small lifeboat, some of us have called it. But in actual fact, you need to realize that the jurisdiction many of you have come from and the jurisdiction you're going to are approximately the same size. The Anglican Church in North America and its partner churches represent somewhere up to 80 or 100,000 people in church on a Sunday. And that is a sizable jurisdiction. It is larger than, for example, the Church of Wales. It's larger than the Church of Scotland, and larger than many of the other constituent members of the Anglican Communion. The jurisdiction that many of us came from, the Anglican Church of Canada, their average Sunday attendance is about 130,000 a Sunday. You'll hear lots of other figures. You'll hear 700,000, you'll hear 350,000. But I know from having been bishop of two of those dioceses and having had an interest as chairman of the Council of the North and many others, I can do a pretty good estimate of what the average Sunday attendance is. And my belief is that the average Sunday attendance is about 130,000. So we're in a jurisdiction that has about approximately 100,000, and so there's a rough comparability between the size of the provinces that we've moved into and the size of the province that we've left. So again, even though we're Canadians and we're in sort of the small part of our province, we must also remember that we are part of this large jurisdiction, and that is an exciting aspect and avenue to me to be part of that wonderful province. I've had the opportunity to attend to many of the provincial gatherings and meetings and to see the resources we have, the gifted leaders we have, and the momentum that there is out there. Now, the proportion, we've talked about launching 1,000 churches, and our Archbishop was here yesterday, and he was the one really who gave that vision and enunciated it at the College of Bishops, the first meeting of the College of Bishops, and then at the inaugural assembly. And that sounds like a sort of a huge figure. But I wanted to tell you that that figure is not so big. Because if you take it proportionally, we represent Anglican Network in Canada about 1/30th of the province. That's about our size. And that would mean proportionally that our share of the 1,000 churches is approximately 30 churches that we need to launch over 5 years. That target is not either large or insurmountable for us and for the resources that we have. And the work of this church planning working group is to try and seed and help and encourage and foster that new life that Christ is calling forth in the hearts of believers all across the country. The number I have to share with you today is that our target for 5 years is 30 new churches. The reality is that 20 of those have already been done since June the 1st, 2009. Since June the 1st, 2009 is what I call Anglican 1,000 churches. There have been 20 new churches launched. 14 of those are brand new. 6 of those are lifeboat churches that have come out partially from another congregation and formed a new life. And I think that's a very legitimate way of starting a church. But 14 are brand new. But there's 20 altogether new churches since Archbishop Duncan called for the launching of 1,000. I know for sure, just by what I hear from the various reports, that there's probably at least another 10 or 20 that are in the pipeline for the next 4 or 5 years. And so I think that we'll be part of the province that will easily exceed our share. And so I always like to say that the 1,000 is not the limit. It's a target. And we can well exceed that. And I do believe that the Anglican Network in Canada will well exceed on a proportional basis what we are called to do. And that's probably going to be the most exciting thing in our whole faith journey is going to be part of that story of the launching of these new congregations. I've been involved over the course of my ministry in a number of new congregations, and I've always felt every time it's been a privilege. And you finally see it, and you see it coming together, and you think, wow, this is one of the most meaningful things in my life was to be part of the founding of this and to remember who the first baby was that was baptized and who the first couple were that were married and all those kinds of things. And so Jan and I are enjoying the privilege of doing that again with the Church of the Ascension. But that's going to be happening all across the country. And I'm just thrilled by seeing the wonderful young people that are migrating into ministry. That gives me a tremendous sense of hope and encouragement. And many of them are here amongst us, and many of them are in programs like Artizo or at Trinity School for Ministry and a number of other places and institutions. And meeting them is a real encouragement to me. The next point I'd like to make is that we make a distinction between the projects and plants and parishes. And that people get a bit confused about that. But just think of it simply as a project is something that's sort of a little bit of beginning work. We don't know if it's going to take off. We don't know if it's going to root. We don't know if it's going to grow. But we're just trying something out. Maybe it's a Bible study group that would like to become a church in the end. And the plant is where now you've got some support. You maybe got a neighboring parish that's going to sponsor you. You've got a little bit of structure. You've got some people meeting together, planning together, and you want to offer regular services. Then we're moving into a plant. And then once we're moving into a body that sort of has some permanence about it and some structure and some shape to it in terms of corporate structure and so on, and a future, then we're looking at a parish. And Ray David will talk a little bit more about our structures and the policies that we have to help people move through those different stages. When we looked at the did a similar study of the numbers in British Columbia, I was interested to learn that we did a workshop there. We found that with the Anglican Church in North America and its partners, there are over 50 clergy in British Columbia. There are over 28 plus parishes in British Columbia. And the average Sunday attendance of those ACNA churches and partners is nearing 3,000 people on a Sunday. I also know that in the traditional structures in British Columbia, the numbers are about 15,000. So I know that the ACNA churches represent about 20% of the size of the traditional structures, and that's just after 2 or 3 years. So I think we need to fasten our seatbelts, to get ready. These structures that we're putting in place now, like our Constitution, are really important, because these will be the launching pads and the footwork for a whole lot of structure that will enable these communities to come into being. I know Ascension is very thankful for the work of the staff and the work of the bishops in providing those basic pieces that sort of helped us get our toehold. And so we want to provide that kind of a toehold for many other communities across this country that are looking to launch and looking to do Christ's work. Thanks very much. Sean Love from St. John's Richmond in Richmond, British Columbia. St. John's Richmond was one of the first church plants received into the Anglican Network in Canada. And it's been an amazing 3.5 years since then, and we're very, very privileged at what God has been doing in our corner of the world. And it's been a privilege to be part of the church plant working group. Wanted to just take a couple of minutes to tell you that one of the things that we did last year was to pull together a church planting policy, a framework for how ANIC goes about the business of forming new congregations, starting from the project stage to the plant stage and through to the parish. This policy was developed using data from a number of different sources, expertise on the ground, and also tried to incorporate what was already happening on the part of the bishops as they've been working with new groups around the country. And that policy was developed and edited. It was taken to the bishops and the archdeacons, who revised it a little bit further, and then it was approved this summer. That policy was approved. And if I can just take about just 2 or 3 minutes and let you know what that policy contains and what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure with this policy, we're trying to give the bishops a kind of, to give them some, a framework for what to do next. But it's also available for groups of individuals that are gathering together that are wanting to plant a congregation. And there's information in the policy that's available for those groups to determine what they need to do, how to get their ducks in a row as they start meeting with bishops from ANIC. The policy, generally speaking, is it attempts to put language around what was already happening, which we think was quite effective. It also wants to try and facilitate new churches, new church plants, and it also is aiming to support new church plants. And I think this is the most important thing for us about the policy and the work that's gone into it and the work of the church planting working group, is that we don't want to, as a national body, we don't want to make the mistake of planting churches willy-nilly. Now, maybe that's a West Coast expression, so I might have to define that. We don't want to throw resources into the air and see what comes up. We actually do want to be strategic, prayerful, thoughtful. We want to be coherent about our church planting policies. And that is what the work of the last year has done, and the bishops are now using that on the ground. So just to finish up, let me just run through a few of the things that the working group has been tasked with, and I think we've made some good progress this year. First of all, is developing this the policy itself. It's a kind of a how-to manual. It has that component, how to plant an ANIC church. We have done some work on articulating the theological foundations of church planting. I appreciate what Ray David said at the beginning, that the Bible actually has a lot to say about church plants, because church plants are not
really different than churches. They're just churches at the beginning stages. And so we've tried to make sure that we're secure in our foundations theologically. The working group is in a position through the bishops to receive applications for funding for new work. We assess applications and make recommendations to the bishops that projects be received as plants or not, or that more time be taken or whatever. And of course, it's very organic. It depends on the situation. As you know from the presentations, every new congregation is radically unique. We are also looking at training potential recruits. So at the Anglican 1000 conference in Plano earlier this year, we invited several potential church planters from Canada to come down and to try and catch a vision and to get some training and potentially follow up for that. So we want to expand the pipeline for ministers of the gospel who are eager to begin new work. Finally, we are doing some follow-up training. So I think Ray David's going to mention about a conference we had this summer in the West and also here in the East. We're making some tools available to assess potential church planters. And we're supporting the ANIC mission and vision as it relates to church planting. So I'm very privileged to be a part of this work. And as somebody who's been through the process of planting a church, I think what the working group and, by extension, ANIC and the bishops are doing is outstanding. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean. I want to do two final things with these closing minutes. The first is to talk about Anglican 1000, and the second is to talk about where we go from here. So the first, Anglican 1000. Raise your hand if you have heard of the Anglican 1000. Okay. Raise your hand if you have heard of the Anglican 1000, but you don't feel like you really understand what it is. Yeah. Okay, some hands. Anglican 1000 was, just by way of history, you've heard our Archbishop yesterday, but it was born out of his clarion call at his investiture, where he called for 1,000 new churches in 5 years. Ed Stetzer, which is a name that some of you may know, put that number in perspective for us, and he said that if that were to happen, that would make this the greatest move of the Holy Spirit, the greatest awakening that has happened in recent church history. 1,000 new churches would be something massive. And what Archbishop Bob was communicating in calling for 1,000 new churches, it was not an invitation for us to start nitpicking or to breed doubt where people say, well, are we really going to get to 1,000? Do you really think it's possible? I don't think that was a good number. We should have chosen something else. But instead, what Archbishop Bob was prophetically doing was setting forth a vision of a preferable future whereby the whole landscape of Anglicanism in North America was different. It's a massive vision. Think of it more as 1,000 points of light, and how 1,000 points of light would change the complexion of a dark continent. That is to say, we are not going to reach 1,000 new churches and then stop. But what we're talking about developing is something that is a movement that will blow right past 1,000 new churches as God continues to raise up new faithful congregations. Anglican 1000 has been a great blessing to our province in that it is a movement that does not plant a single church. Anglican 1000 does not plant churches. What it does instead is it resources the various dioceses and jurisdictions and networks, like the Anglican Network in Canada, to plant churches within their own diocese or jurisdiction or network. Anglican 1000 is somewhat of a cheerleader. It stands on the sideline, it encourages, it shines the spotlight, it celebrates, and it's also a place for networking and sharing best practices. And so Anglican 1000 has a few aspects. The first is a website, anglican1000.org. This website serves as a clearinghouse for best practices, for resources. It also has blogs. You can check it out. The second thing that Anglican 1000 employs is an annual summit. Last year we met for the first one in Plano, Texas, and we had Ed Stetzer address us as the keynote speaker. This year you can write down the date, January 25th through 27th, 25 through 27. Tim Keller will be the keynote speaker. And for those of you who don't know, Tim Keller is worth getting out of bed in the morning to hear. That's the annual summit. The third thing that Anglican 1000 does is these regional meetings that Sean referred to, of which we've already held two. We held one in the summer, one in September, out in South Delta in BC, and we just held one in Burlington, Ontario, a month or so ago. The final thing that Anglican 1000 is developing to support diocese and church planting is a peer-to-peer network that is somewhat regional, but it's for the purpose of encouragement, it's for the purpose of prayer, and also to share resources, to see God plant these new churches in our regions and in our diocese. So a website, a summit, regional meetings, and a peer-to-peer network. All of this to say that in our efforts in following God and working at His behest and seeing Him raise up these new congregations, we are greatly benefiting by our relationship with the Anglican Church in North America. The Anglican 1000 movement has been a source of great encouragement to us here in Canada. Finally, where do we go from here? The two big things that your church planting working group is developing, the first being regional meetings. We have this great policy document that's more than just something to collect dust on your shelf. You know, we all have binders from policies, but when we built this policy document, we intended for it to be somewhat of a framework, as Sean said, that can provide critical pathways. It provides some theological foundation, and it also provides some practical methodologies for how you can go about planting an Anglican network in Canada Church. So we have this policy now, and what we are going to do, God willing, is plan regional meetings across the nation over the next year to introduce you to the policy, to make sure that we have secure theological foundations for church planting, and to talk about best practices through this framework of a policy. So you'll hear more about that over the next few weeks. The second thing that we are doing is investing strategically in two key locations across the country. The one is Kelowna, and the second is in Toronto. So that's what we've been up to over the last year. Please continue to pray. Pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest. Pray that He would build His church and that He would use us. Thank you.